Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being around our young people. Lord, giving us the influence to try to point them to you. Lord, tonight they take another step towards their future. One day it will be history. Lord, as they write their pages of history as they live now, may it be written well. Be with our preacher, fill him with your power, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, I'm going to give a little time specifically to our seniors. Seniors, I would like for you to listen to me very, very carefully. The lesson that I'll teach or the message that I'll preach will be for us all, but in a special way to the seniors, I'd like to give you a challenge. I call the sermon tonight, Get Wisdom, Not Just a Diploma. Get Wisdom, Not Just a Diploma. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let me see if I can explain this to you right. God's saying wisdom is the principal thing. You go down to Winchester, Virginia, there's a restaurant down there called Five Guys. When you get a hamburger, the hamburger is the principal thing. It's the meat. That's the principal thing on that hamburger. It's not the bun. It's not the pickle. It's that hamburger. It's that meat. Now, when you get served spaghetti and meatballs, meatballs are the principal thing. Somebody makes you up a stew, and it's got vegetables in it, and it's got a chunk of meat in it. Meat is the principal thing. Brother Young hosts our men's prayer meeting on Saturday mornings. And when we met, I told him, I said, this prayer breakfast. And he said, oh, that sounds great. All sorts of food. I said, and he'll tell you this. I said, Brother Young, when you serve that breakfast, I'll just tell you one thing about it. Meat is the principal thing. I said, you can give guys some pancakes, but if you give a man a pancake, he could keel over dead an hour later from starvation. You got to give him a piece of meat in his belly. And now if you're a tree hugger right now and you're going green and you're not eating meat, you're going to be disappointed in me because God created meat to eat. Not to look at, to eat. But see, seniors, that's what's special about this place. You're learning so much Bible right now, it's pathetic. When the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing, it's talking about this is a meat of life. It's a big part of life. It's what you need. Wisdom is this extra spiritual perception. ESP, that's what it is. Wisdom is the ability to see life the way God sees it. You see, some people see life their way. What'll make you exceptional is when you can see life God's way. We want to be able to see things the way God sees it. Wisdom is a extra special sense about the things of life. Wisdom is a spiritual intelligence concerning life situations. Listen to this. Wisdom, it is a reasoning that when applied is not only right, but it is right at the right time, right at the right way, and right for the right reason. There are some people that can do right, but sometimes they don't do it exactly in the right way. There are some people that do right, but they don't do it at the right time. There are some people that do right, and they don't do it for the right purpose. Wisdom is doing it at the right time and the right way for the right reason. There's something unique about that. And some of you say, that went right over my head. I would expect that. There's an absence of wisdom in your perception, but there is a right way to do right. There's a right time to do right. There's a right reason to do right. And young people, we don't want you just to do right. We want you to do right rightly. We want you to have wisdom in your life. In 1 Kings chapter 3, there is a story. It's a very well-known story. It goes through 1 Kings 3 and 4. Solomon was a man that was known for his wisdom. Most would say that Jesus Christ, obviously, was the wisest person, the God-man. He was the wisest to ever walk the face of this earth. And many then would say that Solomon was probably the second wisest man. The Bible says in 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and large of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon was a very wise man. Now, let me tell you a story about Solomon. Two mothers who had infants came to Solomon. These mothers lived in the very same household. They both had infant babies. They both went to bed one night and put their babies beside them in bed. In the night, one of those mothers rolled over on top of her baby and smothered her baby to death. She woke up in the wee hours of the morning and realized she had rolled over on her baby and smothered her baby. Well, not having any good sense about what to do, what she did, she went to the other mother, who still yet had a living baby. She stole that living baby and placed her dead baby in that other mother's arms while that mother was asleep. Oh, well, you can imagine. The next morning, the other mother wakes up. At first, she thinks that this baby that has now been placed in her arms is her baby, and the baby's a dead baby, and she panics and she cries, but in a moment, she realizes, this isn't even my baby. She hears in the other room the cry of a baby, the cry of her baby, but that baby is now in the arms of the mother that stole it and had replaced her baby with that dead baby. Well, a fuss breaks out among these two women. One has a living baby that doesn't belong to her. One has a dead baby that doesn't belong to her. And somebody's going to have to solve this problem. So they go to Solomon. They take both babies to Solomon, and both moms go to Solomon, and they tell Solomon the story. And Solomon says this, I tell you what we're going to do, moms. Let's just lay that living baby down here in front of me on this table. I'm going to have one of my guards pull his sword out, and I'm going to have him cut that baby in half, and I'll give half to you, ma'am, and I'll give the other half to you, and we'll solve this thing once and forever. Well, the mom that had done wrong, she didn't oppose it, but the real mama said, oh no, don't kill the baby. I would rather she have the baby, and I'll walk away without a baby. Don't kill the baby. Solomon immediately knew that the love of the mother is the one that would spare the baby's life. And Solomon said, that lady right there that was willing to give that baby away, that's the real mom. You know what happened? It solved the problem. Word spread the Bible says, all around the world of the wisdom of Solomon. Let me tell you something. You're going to face problems in life. I want you to be able to solve them using wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom will make you a cut above. Now, I believe there are many young people who graduate from high school with academic honors, but very little wisdom. They often flop in life. See, if you graduate and you get real, real smart, if you don't get wisdom, your education can actually become dangerous to you. See, I've watched people that are very, very bright, but their success without spiritual common sense will mess them up. I also know of some who have graduated average in academic success, but they acquired wisdom. They had better lives and more fulfilling lives. I'm just here to tell you, and I want you to have both. I want you to strive for high academic excellence, but at the same time, if you can get smart, but if you don't get the wisdom of God, you'll become a danger to yourself and others. You can do both, though. You can work hard in your studies. You can get good grades. You can have a high intelligence, but you need the wisdom of God. Yeah. I happen to believe the more intelligence you get, the better you get the wisdom of God, or you will end up on a shelf. You'll end up out of the will of God. The obtaining of wisdom, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Let me tell you some things about it. The Bible teaches us that God puts a very high value on this thing called wisdom. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies." Can you imagine that? Now, that doesn't sound like something the world would say. Wisdom is better than rubies. Right now, everybody's trying to figure out, what do you do in this economy? Do I buy gold? Do I buy silver? I can't tell you what to do, but I'll tell you something that's even more valuable than gold and silver. You get the wisdom of God on your life. God says that wisdom makes us like the kings and queens of spiritual common sense. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "She," this is in reference to wisdom, "she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." It is talking about people with wisdom, that they are like kings and queens in their ability to think. I've used this before, but it's worth saying again. It was at a kindergarten graduation, and the students decided that they each wanted to buy their teacher a gift. The first student, whose parents owned a florist shop, gave the teacher a present. She held it up and she said, "Ah, I think there are flowers in here." And the little boy said, "How did you guess?" And she kind of laughed. She knew what her parents were going to give. The second student, whose parents owned a candy store, gave her a present too. She held it up and she said, "I'm going to guess there's some candy in this gift bag." "How did you guess?" the little boy said. She laughed, and she had figured out, of course, very easily what that gift was. The third student, parents owned a perfume shop, and they gave her a box, but it was wet. The teacher touched the liquid with her finger and tasted it and said, "Ah, is there perfume inside the box?" The little boy said, "No." She tasted it again. She said, "Is it juice inside the box?" Said, "No." "Well, what are you giving me?" He said, "It's a puppy." If you heard that story once, you ought to have enough wisdom not to be tasting wet gift boxes from here on in. The sermon, the instruction I want to give you tonight, again, the title is, "Get Wisdom, Not Just a Diploma." You say, "Brother Owens, how in the world can I get wisdom?" I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how you can get wisdom. You need to know the Bible. Listen to this verse. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." If you want to get wisdom, then you need to know the Bible. Don't just hear it. Know it. There's a difference in people that sit in this church and they hear the Bible, but they don't do anything with it. You become wise not because you know the Bible, but because you do something with what you know. Be able to use your Bible. The Bible, it's the wisdom dictionary. It's the wisdom encyclopedia. So you know, and let me make this very clear to you, the Bible's better than the internet. The Bible puts all the libraries of the world to shame, and it's only one eternal volume. But if you want to get wisdom, you need to know your Bible. Not only that, you ought to know Jesus. If you want to have wisdom, know Jesus. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The first place to start, and you all have, is in salvation. But then, not only know Him as Savior, but know Him personally. Not just an education about Him, but make Him your best friend. There are people that know all sorts of facts about Jesus, but they don't even know Him. Oh, they could quote all sorts of things about Him, but they really don't know Him. If you want to have wisdom, the Bible teaches you need to know the Bible. If you want to have wisdom, the Bible teaches you need to know Jesus. Here's a good thing. The Bible teaches if you want wisdom, you can ask for it. You can ask for it. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Listen, here the Bible's telling you if you want wisdom, you need to pray and ask for it. Now, I believe a prayer life is necessary. I believe if I were you, I would pray before you make any decisions. One thing to do is to pray and say, God, give me wisdom as I make this decision. Now, some of you are going to make some of the biggest decisions in your life in the next 3 or 4 months. And what you do before you make any decision, you say, God, control my mind. God, give me wisdom. See, there's something that I do all day long, every day. I mean, constantly. I'm constantly under my breath saying, God, give me wisdom. 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 Listen, if wisdom is the principal thing, then prayer for wisdom should be a principal request. God said, you need wisdom, and wisdom is the principal thing. And one of the ways of getting it is by asking for it. The way we ask things of God, that's what prayer means. Prayer means asking. You need to pray for wisdom over and over again. And don't ever be afraid to ask for wisdom about even the slightest and the smallest decisions of life. Before you do anything, say, God, give me wisdom about that. God, control my mind about that. God, give me your wisdom about that. You see, wisdom is the principal thing. We've got to figure out how to get it. How are we going to get it? We're going to know the Bible. How are we going to get it? We're going to know the Jesus of the Bible. How are we going to get it? God said, ask me for it, and I'll give it to you. The Bible also says you can get wisdom by living righteously. Proverbs 2:7 says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Right living people are rewarded with extra spiritual insight. I'll make you a promise. I don't know for sure how it works. But if you'll do this, if you'll live the Bible, God will help you to see and understand the Bible better. Some people say, well, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to do it. You got it backwards. By faith, do it, and then God will help you to understand it. That's how it worked for just about everything I've ever done in my Christian life. Many parts of the Christian life did not make sense to me, but God wanted me to live righteously. He wanted me to, by faith, obey the Bible, and obedience opened my eyes, and I didn't just have a fact of the Bible. Now I have a part of the Bible I'm living, and I'm able to become wise about life. So, if I'm going to get wisdom, where can I get it? Knowing the Bible. Where can I get it? Knowing Jesus. Where can I get it? I can ask for it. Where can I get it? I can live righteously. Then, if you'll let people correct you and have a good attitude about it when they do, you'll get wisdom. I said, let people correct you and have a good attitude about it as they do. Now, graduates, I realize something. If you're not already 18, you will be soon. You've been looking at that number, 18, for some time. It's a goal. It's a milestone. You're thinking, I can't wait until I'm 18. I can remember. Well, I couldn't wait till I was 18. Oh, can't wait to be 18. I'm going to be 18. Uncle Sam said at 18, I'm a legal adult. I just can't wait to be 18. I just cannot wait to be 18. I realize that's a big number for you. But let me tell you something. Be very, very careful, because nowhere in the Bible does it say when you turn 18, you ought to be rejecting counsel and correction. Nowhere does it say that. Somehow we can get this idea that we turn 18 and we can reject what everybody says because I'm 18. I'm a legal adult. You'll be a legal adult in God's eyes when you act like one. When you act like one. And the Bible says, listen to this, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. That's saying that when you're corrected, if you'll take the correction well, you can get wisdom. People who can't be corrected are not wise people. Let correction drive foolishness far from you. You know, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. And if you want to be wise, you need to keep going through life letting people correct you. Some of the wisdom that you young people have already gained, you gained it by letting someone correct you and help you stay on track. Can I tell you something? You still need people to help you and keep you on track. And so, if you let people correct you and have a right attitude about it, then God said wisdom is available to you. I'll tell you something else that you can do to get wisdom. Be a soul winner. Win people to Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. See, it is a wise thing to win souls, but I believe that when you win souls, God will give you wisdom. See, souls are God's great love. You give God what brings Him joy, and He can give you what can bring you great joy. And one of the things that will bring you one of the greatest joys in life is that you get wisdom in life. You can bypass so many heartaches in life. You can see things about life that are special and important to you. You give God the souls of men. God can give you the wisdom to help you to be safe, fruitful, productive in life. And so, if wisdom is the principal thing, and it is, I've got to figure out how to get wisdom. I can get it by knowing the Bible. I can get it by knowing Jesus. I can get it by asking for wisdom. I can get it by living righteously. I can get wisdom by letting people correct me and having a good attitude about it. And I can get it by telling others about Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the attitude of people who want to gain wisdom and the attitude of people who get wisdom. First of all, I have to tell you this. Wisdom, if you want it, if you're going to get it, you're going to have to stay humble. You have to stay humble. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Pride brings shame. Lowly or humility brings wisdom. I have to tell you, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child." You see, young people, when we're born and we're very, very foolish. And God said, "I want to get that foolishness out of your life." See, we start out full of foolishness. And what we need to do is humble ourselves and gather wisdom. We've got to get all the wisdom that we can. So when you turn 18, don't become a know-it-all. Now, the temptation for you is to say this, "I'm not a child anymore." No, you're not. So don't act like one. Don't respond like one. If you're not a child and you're not, then you behave like an adult. You control your emotions like an adult. Not like all adults. I mean, not like all adults. But like an adult that's got it together, that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit, that doesn't come up with excuses for every emotional outburst. But let me tell you this, you've got to stay humble. Stay humble. Keep absorbing wisdom and don't get too big for your own spiritual britches. So what's the attitude of people that gain this thing called wisdom? They stay humble. Secondly, they fear God. They fear God. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What do you mean by that fear? I don't think that it just means that, you know, you're cowering in a corner, trembling over God. Though I can tell you this, if need be, you need to cower in the corner and fear God because He is a God and a powerful God. But that's not exactly what this kind of fear means. It's a reverence for God. Could I recommend that if you want wisdom, you stay afraid of sin's consequences?
Yes, sir.
What you sow, you're going to reap. Be sure your sin will find you out. Fear Him enough to stay faithful to the house of God. Fear Him enough to never stop living His Word. Hey, the attitude of those who end up with this principal thing called wisdom, their attitude is a humble attitude. Their attitude is a continued fear for God. And then they learn who to listen to. Wise people learn who they should give a hearing. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 22:17 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." Listen to this verse. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." What's the attitude of these people that gather this principal thing, the meat of the Christian life? What's their attitude? Well, they're humble. They fear God. And they learn who to listen to. They listen to the right people. Hey, not just intelligent men should you listen to, but listen to other wise men.
Yes.
I've met many men who were smart educationally, but stupid about life. I've met people that, as far as their book learning is concerned, they're fabulous. But they can't stay married. They don't know how to treat people. They can't function in society. You don't want to be like that. Don't be so smart that you're stupid. There's more to life than developing your mind. Hey, you go ahead and develop your mind to its fullest, but you better get the wisdom of God to go along with it, or you'll end up becoming some sort of a mechanical genius that does nobody any good. And so, if you want wisdom, you've got to listen to other wise men. You've got to keep fearing God. You've got to stay humble. Then, desire to keep learning.
Yes.
Keep learning. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. You keep learning. Proverbs 10:14 says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of fools is near destruction. Stay hungry for wisdom. Stay hungry for knowledge. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of others. Just so you know, my take on high school graduation, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, it's finally over. No, it's finally beginning.
Yes.
You're not at the end. You're at the beginning. The last 12 or 13 years of your life has been preparation. Now you're about to launch. Now you've been given the tools. So now you know how to learn. And now you know how to submit. And now you're getting ready to go achieve. You're not a finished product. You're at the beginning of things. Keep a desire to learn. One thing I appreciate about my wife just loves to learn. She loves to learn something new. She loves taking on new things. And I'm thrilled with that. Keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Keep learning. Don't let your mind grow stale. Keep learning. Learning is a part of the growth of life. And as long as you're alive, you're to be learning. You're to be learning. So what are you talking about? We're talking about the attitude of people that gain this thing called wisdom. It's a humble attitude. It's an attitude that continues to fear God. It's an attitude that listens to the wise men of life. It's an attitude that desires the continuation of learning. Now, you say, now why should I, Brother Owens, why should I seek this principal thing called wisdom? And why should I have that right attitude? I'll tell you why. There are some benefits to this thing of wisdom. First of all, if you'll get wisdom, you can be an achiever. You can be an achiever. Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth in strength. You know what that verse is talking about? Somebody that's strong. They're going forward. They're accomplishing and they're conquering. And young people, don't you let anybody in the world take that fire out of you. You're in a church where there's fire. And you've been in a Christian school where there's fire. Don't become a lethargic, lay around, do nothing, be satisfied with average kind of a Christian. Young people, you've been trained to grab a hold of life and make something happen. Now look, if your preacher, who's almost 51 years of age, can muster up a little fire and tenacity and drive, why shouldn't you? Get out there and do something with your life. Don't be satisfied with average. Go make something happen. Burn something down. Build something out. Push something out of the road. But make something happen. Don't be satisfied with this junk of, well, people ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Oh, no. What are you going to be? Oh, no. You ought to know. You ought to know. Go do something. Desire. Have a passion about achieving. There are not a lot of people that have a fire in them to achieve and make something happen. But that's one of the benefits of wisdom. Wisdom can help you to achieve. Not only that, wisdom can help you to have less conflicts in life. You have less conflicts in life. Life, well, one of the primary parts of your life are going to be your relationships. And you want to do your best to have good relationships in life. Proverbs 29:8 says this, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. You know what that's teaching us? If you can get wisdom, you can minimize human conflict. You can have a happier life. I'll tell you one of the things that are missing in marriages today. Wisdom. I know husbands that know what's right, but they don't know the wise way to get their family to do what's right. So there's conflict over it. I know moms that know what's right, but it's not just a knowledge of right. It's the ability to get the people around them to do right and to want to do right and to do right at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason, with the right attitude. There's all sorts of people that know the right thing, but they don't know how to do right rightly. And I'm telling you, if you'll get this thing called wisdom, you'll have a happier marriage. If you get this thing called wisdom, you'll be better parents. If you get this thing called wisdom, you'll be a better leader. You'll be able to get around people and reduce conflict in life. Also, you say, why? Why, Brother Owens? Why would I want this thing called wisdom? What's the big deal? Okay, well, I said this. You become an achiever because of wisdom, the Bible promises in Proverbs 24:5. You have less conflict in life. Then you have a richer life. You have a richer life. So many times when we think rich, we just think money. Well, just so you know, there's more to life than money. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are the most miserable people in the world. Now, I'm for money. I think everybody ought to give all their money to the church. I'm for it. I'm for money. But let me tell you, money won't make you happy. It won't make you happy. Now, you're going to need some of it, so you're going to have the good sense on how to earn it, how to spend it, and what to do with it. But wisdom can help you to have a richer life. And I believe wisdom can help you even in the financial arena. You've got to have some wisdom in life. But God said, if you get wisdom, I can help you to have a richer life, which means God can help you with your finances. I know all sorts of people that know how to make money, but they don't know how to handle their money. They have a head knowledge about earning money, but they don't have the wisdom on how to handle their money. You want to hear something? I counsel people about their finances all the time. What I do is I ask them to give me everything they're spending on a piece of paper. Then we write how much money they're bringing in. There's a thing called income, and there's the other half of it. It's outgo. Do you know that I would say 7 out of 10 times people bring in enough money to pay their bills? You know, the problem is they don't pay their bills like they're supposed to. You see, there's a knowledge on earning money, but there's not a wisdom on how to handle the money that they earned. You've got to get that wisdom. You've got to get that wisdom. Wisdom will make you richer. It'll make your relationships richer. It'll make your rewards in heaven. You'll be richer. It'll make your emotions richer. Let me tell you all something. You don't have to be a basket case. You don't have to fall apart. You say, what am I going to do? Get wisdom about the things of life. Wisdom will give you an angle on life. Wisdom will get you emotionally a step above. You want this thing called wisdom for your emotions. You want this thing called wisdom for your relationships. You want this thing called wisdom for your money. You need this thing called wisdom. Wisdom can give you a certain peace in life. It'll just give you a peace that passeth all understanding. See, these are the benefits of this thing called wisdom. That's one reason I'd like to see you get it. Oh, I want you to get your diploma, and you're going to get it. It's only going to be a few days away. But just that diploma and just the knowledge that you gained for that diploma, that's not all you need. Now you need the wisdom of God in your life so that knowledge becomes productive and it's handled properly. How? Why? What's the benefit? Well, you become a better achiever. You help with the conflicts of life. You have a richer life. I find this. I think that wisdom will make the lives of others more bearable. You see, I want for you that your life is good. I want for you that peace and that stableness in your emotions and your behavior. But folks, our lives are not just all about us. I really want the wisdom of God in my life so I can help this congregation that their relationships are bearable. I need the wisdom of God so I can help others with the messes that they create because of their lack of wisdom. The Bible says this, Proverbs 29:8, scornful men bring a city into a snare. But, that word but, there's a conjunction there. It means we're going to add a little bit to that first thought. There's a scornful man. He's brought a city into a snare. Here's a scornful man. He's made a mess of things. The city's a mess because of this guy. And then it says, but the wise man turneth away wrath. What happened? Some fella that was a scorner made a mess out of the city, and the wise man came along and said, I'll start calming this thing down. If you get wisdom, not only could you have a happier life, you can help the people around you have a happier life. Proverbs 16:14 says, the wrath of a king is as a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it. What's that say? Somebody lost their temper, couldn't control their rage, couldn't control their life, and the wise man came along and said, I'll get this all calmed down, and I'm going to become a shock absorber between this guy, and I'm going to help try to fix this, and I'm going to try to fix that. Nothing like being a peacemaker in life. Nothing like taking two people that can't get along because they're not wise, and you having the wisdom of God in your life, and to be able to get that thing together to help people to get along. You see, one of the benefits of wisdom is not only that you can have a more peaceful life and a more stable life, but you can touch the lives around you. And you can help the people around you to have a more peaceful life. You can have them help people to have a more productive life. This thing called wisdom, I think I can see why God said wisdom. It's the principal thing. I'm glad that you're getting your diploma. I'm glad you're graduating from high school. Just so you know, they will graduate by the hundreds of thousands in the next 30 days. A bunch will get a diploma that equals knowledge. I want you to have the knowledge and the wisdom. That's why you'll be leaders. Knowledge alone won't do it. It is the wisdom that takes that knowledge and uses it. And it's productive. You accomplish things with your life. That's the difference. That's the difference in you and maybe hundreds of thousands of others. Do you realize how many people out there all across the world will get a diploma and nobody's ever talked to them one moment about the subject of wisdom? All it's been was knowledge, 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 and I'm for knowledge. But you have learned the principal thing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Let me even tell you this, even in the ministry, I've watched all sorts of people go off to Bible college and get all sorts of knowledge. They could quote all 66 books of the Bible. They could tell you which 27 are Old Testament and which are the New Testament or whatever. They could tell you who wrote what book in the Bible. They could give you so much Bible knowledge. It is pathetic. And they have all sorts of knowledge, but they don't have enough wisdom to build a church. They don't have enough wisdom to handle people. They don't know what to do with that knowledge. They just got a full brain. But you need a full brain and a full life. And that's what we want you to have. Get wisdom, not just a diploma. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we want to welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be saved, if you'll come in a minute, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. There's a lot of people in this room. What you need to do is you need to realize it's not just a matter of learning the Bible. It's a matter of getting a wisdom about the things of God. That perception, that little extra that keeps it from just being the facts of the Bible and it becomes a part of your life. Somebody might need to walk the aisle tonight, get on your knees and say, God, I don't want to just know the facts of the Bible. I want a wisdom about the Word of God. You learn tonight how to get it. You learn the attitude of the right attitude about this thing called wisdom. If you need the altar, we're going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will you stand to your feet? Choir, sing a song of invitation if you will. If you need the altar, you come. High school diploma, get wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. The wisdom of Solomon was heard all around the world. How am I going to get it? Know the Bible. How am I going to get it? Know Jesus. How am I going to get it? Ask for it. How am I going to get it? Live right. How am I going to get it? Let people correct you and take it with a good attitude. How am I going to get it? You be a soul winner. What's your attitude supposed to be? You have to stay humble. You're going to have to fear God enough to fear the consequences of sin and seek the consequences of good. You're going to have to listen to the right people. You're going to have to desire to keep learning. What will that help us with? It'll make us achievers. It'll cause less conflict in our life. It'll give us a richer life. Help us to make other people's lives bearable. It won't only change our life, it'll change the lives of the people around us. Get your diploma, but get wisdom. more time through the song, please. Thank you, congregation. Go ahead and have a seat there.